VentureCast.
This week on the Deep Leadership Podcast.
Know your gifting and just be aware of when you're overplaying it. And I'm speaking from my own journey, which means you got to surround yourself with people that you trust that can give you the honest feedback. That's it. So that's why self, others, and purpose is our run right now. It's know yourself, focus on serving others, and figure out a higher purpose beyond yourself.
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Well, I hope all is well with you today. As I mentioned last week, I'm excited to announce we have a new sponsor on the show, the Salty Sailor Coffee Company. Salty Sailor is a veteran-owned coffee brand on a mission to deliver premium fresh roasted coffee while making a positive impact on the world. Their motto is drink coffee and do good, which reflects their commitment to making amazing coffee and actively supporting the military community. 10% of every order goes to the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, an organization dedicated to helping sailors, Marines, and their families in times of need. Salty Sailor Coffee is the official coffee of the Deep Leadership Podcast, and all our listeners get 10% off every order of their amazing coffee by using the discount code DEEP at checkout. So check them out at saltysailorcoffee.com. Now, on today's episode, I'm joined by Steve Shenbaum, the founder of Game On Nation and comedic actor who starred in Space Jam, Will and Grace, and American Pie 2. Now, we sat down and discussed the power of positive humor in leadership and the importance of authentic humor in organizations and the role of self-deprecating humor in leadership. We also dive into the significance of connection to self, others, and purpose in leadership, particularly during times of change and growth. Now, this was a fun episode that I know you'll enjoy. So, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Steve Shenbaum. Steve is the founder of Game On Nation, a nationally recognized communication firm that employs game dynamics and improvisation to teach high-performance teamwork as well as communications, storytelling, public speaking, and presentation skills. For over 27 years, Steve and his company have helped people at the highest level of every sphere in the country, including leaders at Fortune 100 companies, college and professional sports teams, all branches of the military, NASA, and the U.S. House of Representatives. Steve gained notoriety in his early acting career with featured roles in popular comedy films and shows such as Space Jam, Will and Grace, and American Pie 2. He understands the immense power of positive humor in facilitating team building and communication, and I'm excited to have him on the show to learn more about the power of positive humor in leadership. So, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. You got a good voice, man. Well done. That was cool.
It's not serious.
That's a long read. I was like, oh, this guy, what is he doing? That was great. Well done.
Yeah, I've got a face for radio, so thank you.
No, that's not what I meant. Actually, that's funny you just said that because, well, remember that moment because I'm going to tell you, no, you look great and we're going to laugh with, not at, but I know you were being self-deprecating, but you did a good job. Absolutely. You can be on camera. You can be on camera too. Trust me. I was there.
Oh, okay. Good, good. So, no, it's great to meet you. I'm honored. And I'm really excited to talk about humor. It's a big part of what I've done in leadership throughout the years. And I just wonder if I'm doing it right. So, you're the expert in this. And I'm really excited to have you on the show. But I just want to touch on, before we get into the humor piece of it, you run this company called Game On Nation. And what I talked about earlier on is that you're using game dynamics and improvisation to teach these skills. Why do you guys focus on those two? How does that help you really uncover, teach, and train executives, leaders, and all sorts of different people in different spheres?
That's good. One of the answers, John, is just it's my background and it's our instructor's background. So part of it is it's just our history and our authority as teachers. A lot of us and in our facilitation team have a background in improvisation. I studied theater at Northwestern, but that's part of it. But I think a bigger part of it is we found that when it's done by following three rules, when improvisation and game dynamics are done following three rules, which I'll mention briefly in a second, it's a gateway to actually then have some really good conversations. So it's really not the answer. It's the pathway to some answers. So all the leadership communication space that we're all in, that you're in, that I'm in, we all have different methods to get to some solutions. That's just, that's one of our methods that we've found to be effective. And the rules are laugh with, not at, which we'll maybe talk about a little deeper, have each other's back and celebrate small wins. So those are our rules. We call it rules of the game. It's always at the beginning of every session. And then back to your question, we use improv because we all have a background in it. We enjoy it. And we have found that it's a nice way to engage an audience with purpose.
That makes a lot of sense. And those three rules can apply to like leadership and treating a team and all that. So there's a lot of lessons just in those three rules of improv.
Yeah, well, and they helped me with my 12 and 9-year-old too, John. You know, they seem simple, but it's kind of one of those that's been years of process. You know, they say I think it was Abraham Lincoln. I would have written you a shorter letter if I had the time. You know, it took a long time, but yeah, it's, laugh with, not at, is a big part, which is let's use humor to lift people up. It doesn't mean that humor can't be used in other ways. We choose, especially in engaging with an audience that we don't know. That's rule number one. It's key. And celebrate small wins. Let's not wait for epic victories, because in a game on session, you may not have an epic victory in an hour, 90-minute, half-day seminar, you know? And then have each other's back. Go simple. Like, remember people's names. Give them space. Honor them. If you ask for a volunteer, because we do improv, and they say no, move on. Don't force them. You know, these are kind of basic respect, kindness, sort of Ted Lasso-y-ish, right? So anyway.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. We actually had a guest on that wrote the book about the leadership lessons from Ted Lasso.
So really?
About that. That's
good.
So on the show, absolutely. Yeah. So John Brubaker is the author. Mm-hmm. So
I know Coach Brew.
Coach Brew, that he wrote that book. So
yeah, I know.
He's a great guy. So let's talk about humor. So you talk about positive humor. So What's the difference between positive humor and just other humor? How is it different, and why do we focus on positive humor?
Yeah, and I can only answer that from my lens, right? Like as a former character actor, I really experience a lot of variations of humor. And I've found, you know, positive humor would be like what we call laughing with. Are you giving someone an opportunity to be lifted up through humor? Another way to call it would be joy. The negative side for me, again, I'm not the humor police. Got it? Like I don't want to get so stringent that we don't have any flexibility. I'd say that when we're using humor, when I've using humor to shame someone, when I am using humor to make someone feel uncomfortable in a group or to get a laugh at their expense, in the game on sphere, I would say that's a no-no. Now, with that said, John, you and I were talking before the podcast. If you're in your world, your former world, you're in a submarine for months, you're in an environment where you're with family and you've earned the right and you have deep relationships, you know, you're on a team. I get it. People are going to get a little rougher with one another. But from our lens, most of our audiences are people that we don't know well. And so we haven't earned the right to go for the sarcastic, for the snarky, or for the shame.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking of a situation. We do stand-up meetings in my office, and one of my employees, younger employees, had gone out and cleaned. We get the front entrance of our building gets spider webs all over. So he went out there and cleaned spider webs, and he came back to the morning meeting. He was kind of twitching and he was moving around, and everyone was kind of looking at him. And then he starts laughing. He's like, he was just paranoid. He had a spider on him. And so we sort of all started laughing together because it was just a funny moment that he was just twitching and throughout the thing. But I remember thinking we're laughing with him, not at him. Like, he wasn't embarrassed either. He started laughing himself too. And and we all remember that moment because it was so funny at the time. But it was like, it actually built a bond of us because we remember that one meeting, you know, because anytime someone twitches now, we're like, oh gosh.
Spider.
Exactly. So it's now a common thing within our group.
Well, and in the humor world, John, it's called a callback. And that's a perfect example. You answered the question. I love it. You gave an example to your listeners And I would encourage everyone in the military space, the corporate space, the athletic space, just use common sense and discernment and read the room. So let's use that example, not to turn this into a teach moment, but it happened. Your buddy came. So first of all, you have some relationship with this gentleman, right?
Yeah.
Now, you may have handled that differently if this was a first day of an intern program, correct?
Yeah, sure.
So just, I think we all need to think that way. It's like, who are you working with? Am I working with my wife? Are my children observing while I'm working with my wife? That's a whole different, is this an intern who just started a week ago? Or is this someone who has some respect in the company and has been there a while? And my wife says it beautifully, have you earned the right to go further than laugh with? And if we can all think that way, and honestly, sometimes we just need to say to each other, hey, you know what? That was kind of funny, but kind of the joke went a little too far. If you can build that level of trust in your team, that's when you get some good growth, because you won't know if you went too far all the time, because you don't know what you don't know.
That makes so much sense. Now, how is positive humor important to organization? Why is it important to have it inside an organization?
Well, and I'll start by not just saying positive, but I would say authentic humor. Because, let's be honest, every gift can be overplayed.
Mm.
And then I want to start here so people can understand, this isn't all about rainbows and unicorns and start your virtual sessions and your stand-up meetings with a funny joke. Like, that's dangerous, because humor overplayed can get really hokey and can feel very forced. But to your question, when it's authentic, purposeful, funny humor, like your scenario with the spider, everyone was in on it. I actually could make an argument there's a scientific connection. There's a dopamine and a serotonin release that goes on amongst the team. And my example would be, if you're a movie fan, I come from that Hollywood world, but most movies that are watched repeatedly are movies infused with humor, not with terror. You know, I'm not saying all, but like, stats have shown that people that watch horror films, those aren't watched on a repeated basis. Right. Humor films are watched on a repeated basis. You know, everyone that during holidays watches, like, Will Ferrell's Elf, the Santa Elf. That's it. Elf.
I know every line in Elf. I mean, my whole family does, you know, and it's because we'll watch it over and over again.
Yeah. If that movie was a horror, not to knock horror films, but if that movie was a horror, I don't know if it would be watched at the same level of repetition. So dopamine and serotonin it's proven that it's a release when you're laughing with, and when you do it in a group, I think there could be a really neat bonding experience. And there's a trust that comes into it, because if you're doing it respectfully and you're honoring people, people leave not only having a good feeling, but they go, hey, I like the way John took care of us in the journey of laughter and the journey of humor.
I like that. One of the things that, you know, we talked about before we press record is tough times. I faced a lot of tough times under the ocean. Humor was a big part of how we got through these long days and long weeks and long months. And even in like the corporate environment and in my startup business, there's been some tough times. And I found that humor sort of, it almost, if you will, it helps us get through these tough times.
Yeah.
Do you see that as well, as a role that humor plays in you know, just, you know, bearing, you know, tough setbacks, tough issues, getting through the tough times?
Totally. And you look at it this way, when that happens in those tough times, again, use you under the water, it's like a light that shines because it is a tough time. So I think there's actually more preciousness to it. When there's laughter, and I'm going to shift it, not just humor, but laughter, because I want to talk a bit about that. When there's laughter in a difficult situation, it actually has more value, right? Because when we're going through literally a dark time, when you shine a light, it helps. And usually that level of humor is coming from a real honest place because people are struggling. The other thing I just want to point out on that is, you know, we talk about if you don't laugh, you're gonna cry. Like that is a real deal sometimes. The other thing I just touch on is we are really intentional too about the humor component. We have an acronym called MILE. We'll focus on the L, but it's mystery, incentive, laughter, and empowerment. Those are the four dynamics that we use to purify our exercises as our game dynamics. But we always say with the L, we say enjoy laughter. And that's a big one. It's a simple concept, but We don't say force laughter. We don't say bring laughter. We don't say create laughter. We actually say enjoy laughter. And what that does, John, is it actually gives the audience permission to actually look for it. Because your listeners, not everyone out there is a stand-up comic. Even I wasn't. And the irony of us talking about laughter, we're not being like funny right now, right? But if you're listening here and you feel like you're not the quote funny person in the room, that's not what we teach. We're saying, do you have the ability to enjoy laughter? And if you do, you're going to find more laughing moments and more collective joy. And it's not exclusive to Hollywood. It's not exclusive to the loudest, funniest cat in the room.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
As a leader, you're responsible for the mission and the people assigned to you. Regardless of the size of your team, employees are depending on you for their lives and careers. For the sake of your team and the people who entrust you with this role, you need to master the skills to become a great leader. Best-selling leadership author John Rennie is proud to introduce the Qualified Leadership Book Series. This new series teaches you how to become a people-centered leader. Great leaders know that employees who are respected, appreciated, and allowed to grow will go the extra mile. These books provide real-world leadership wisdom written from a hands-on perspective. If you want to be a more effective leader, this is the one book series you should read this year. This three-book series contains the following best-selling leadership books: I Have the Watch, You Have the Watch, and All in the Same Boat, for one low price of $39.99. Begin your journey to become a leader worth following. Go to johnsrennie.com and get your order in today.
This episode is brought to you by Leader Connect, a leadership training company and video platform founded by the leadership book author and Deep Leadership Podcast guest, Neil Jurd. Leader Connect is a video and podcast streaming platform for leaders and teams. Watch it alone or as a team, and each video supports you and your team, allowing you to improve performance and build a great culture. Join hundreds of experts and learn about leadership, planning, public speaking, team building, mindfulness, and a range of other subjects that will help you lead well and build a great team. I'm proud to say that I'm one of the experts on this platform. Leader Connect is offering a 10% discount to all Deep Leadership listeners. Go to leader-connect.co.uk and enter the code DEEP at checkout. Master your leadership with Leader Connect.
This episode is brought to you by Ignite Management Services. Ignite is led by Mike Watson, who you might remember from episode 137. Mike and his team believe that everything starts with leadership. Whether it's strategy execution or cultural transformation, it's the role of the leader to create the conditions for their people to succeed. The team at Ignite can help you develop critical habits to enhance your leadership capability and transform your business. Ignite Management is now offering the Resilient Leadership Assessment Tool. This is an online questionnaire designed to assess and guide leadership development, coaching, and team building. It provides leaders an opportunity to gain insights into their leadership strengths and development needs. After taking this assessment, you will receive a custom detailed report that provides practical and actionable recommendations to enhance your effectiveness. I have taken this assessment myself and found it to be extremely valuable in helping me make changes to my leadership approach. Right now, Ignite is offering 15% off the price of this tool to the Deep Leadership audience. Go to ignitemanagement.ca and enter the code START15 at checkout to get started today.
That's interesting, because I think, you know, some people, I would say, may have a misperception about humor, where they might say, well, that's not professional. You know, we don't laugh here. You know, we're a serious organization.
Right.
We're making circuit breakers that go on the electrical grid. We can't laugh. We have to be very serious about this.
Totally.
But, you know, can you be serious about your job and still have a sense of humor about just the circumstances and things that come up throughout the day?
Yeah, I think it's actually more important in those environments. But it goes back to all leadership concepts go back to this. As leaders, let's define what we mean by humor.
Mm.
So let's say you're in a company that the stakes are very high, right? Let's say you're in a company that you are a flight traffic controller. Cool. The stakes are pretty high, right? You mess up there, it's a lot different than putting the wrong thing into like an Excel spreadsheet. right?
Yes.
Well, if I'm the leader of the traffic control, which I would never be, it's not my gifting. I would define for my team, what do we mean by humor? And then explain, like, let's talk about laugh with. Let's make humor uplifting. Let's make it appropriate. I can't stress that enough. Let's make it appropriate. Let's find joy. Let's enjoy laughter together. Then what you might find is you went from something that you feared because it's been done poorly and it's triggered people and upset people. And now it's done in a way that actually can help us get us in the day and land the plane safely.
That makes a lot of sense. So how do we, you know, you said it has to be authentic. It has to be real. It can't be, you know, a fake attempt like, oh, we're going to start every meeting with a joke, you know, that I'm
right
from a book or something like that.
Please don't do the, yeah, thank you, John. Do not say to people, don't Google how to start a meeting being funny. Don't, you're going to end up in a hula hoop game, like doing weird, like weird stuff. Yeah.
So how do leaders create an environment where humor is authentic and it occurs naturally versus, you know, forced and faked?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a process. I think it's starting with what not to do, which you already covered. I love that you said that. Please don't Google like funny icebreakers. By the way, real quick, we're not frozen, so let's not call it an icebreaker, right? Like you're immediately saying, all right, you're all frozen and I'm going to chip away. No, it's not an icebreaker. So I would start actually in a really weird way, but I think it works. I would start by giving it time. And I think the gateway to everyone finding their sense of humor, everyone finding their style to bring joy into a room is to spend time with one another and build trust.
Yeah.
Let's just think about this. So just if you're telling a joke, most people are going to feel more confident and creative around people that they trust, who trust them. Really. I mean, I'm not trying to get serious on a laughter humor conversation, John, but I'm so passionate about this. Think about when all the listeners that are on listening to you now, and think about us, when we've told a story with people that we just know have our back, there's a trust there. That story is just more fluid. Our sense of humor is more present. And then you could tell that same story, that same joke to a group of people that you're not feeling the vibe. Someone may have looked away. You're starting to read the wrong thing. They look at their phone. That same story falls flat. So I would start with build some trust. And I don't mean easy forced team building. I mean, just get to know your team a little bit. Create us an environment where people can start to understand how everyone is rhythmed and their learning style. And maybe then you can get to a place where people's creativity and sense of humor will start to come to the surface. And don't force it.
That makes sense. Because I think humor is, you're vulnerable, right? When you go down the path of a joke that has a punchline and every year is at you, you're being vulnerable at that point. So it makes sense that when you're in a deeper trusting situation that you're more willing to be vulnerable and willing to step out and you know, and have that funny moment versus when you are in a situation where you don't trust the people that are around you. So it almost like you're affirming that I trust you. Yeah. Like we have a relationship, you know, like in the military, you know, guys just busted balls all the time. That's what we did. I mean, and it was meant as like, it was like a brotherly, I love you and I care deeply about you. So I'm going to give you, you know, I want to make you laugh any way I can. And, sure. And it was definitely, it was probably not laugh with, it's probably laugh at, but it made so many funny laugh with moments.
Yeah.
Because we were, you know, in the situation where we had this deep level of trust with each other. And I wonder as you work with the military, if you find that, because that seemed to be something that was at least in the submarine force for sure.
You do it. You bring up a really good point with humor, laughter. You've got to know your audience and you've got to know the environment. And so when I'm teaching this concept, I'm going to share it differently to the military group than to a corporate group. I'm going to share it differently with a group of men than versus a group of women. I'm going to share it differently when there's a group of men and women together that don't know each other. So just do the math. Your scenario is different. I'm not going to go so strong on laugh with, never laugh at when I'm talking to a group of men in a submarine for 3 months that have known each other and they're kind of in a different dynamic. So you just got to have some discernment and common sense in those different environments. To another point that kind of it struck me as you were sharing was the other thing about laughter, I keep switching from humor to laughter, they're kind of somewhat synonymous, is I would encourage folks to not make it so complicated. Mm. But there's two encouragement. I call these good to do's, two good to do's. One is try to find a sound out there that resonates with you and is your similar style. For example, some people might resonate with a Jim Carrey vibe. Other people might resonate with a Jerry Seinfeld vibe. I'm aging myself, but you know, those are two different styles, you know? And I think sometimes we try too hard to think, oh, Jim Carrey was funny, or a buddy of mine, actually, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace is funny. These are very skilled, gifted comedians. And we would never try to serve a tennis ball Rafael Nadal, or slam dunk a basketball like LeBron James. But we do that when it comes to comedians. I think we look at comedians, go, I'm going to try to do that, and you're going to hurt yourself, you know?
Yeah.
I think my encouragement to a lot of leaders is, it's not about being the funniest person in the room or being a joke teller. Oftentimes, humor comes from just pointing out a mundane human behavior that's common, which really is what Jerry Seinfeld does. So that would be one I would encourage people to watch, because it's less performative and more observational.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that. Because I think everybody observes the same thing, you know, in a meeting, like,
yeah,
you know, or something, or the fact that, you know, every time you're trying to join a Zoom meeting, like, you know, someone's always on mute, you know, that's like an ongoing joke, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're observing the situation and all having a laugh over it, you know.
I heard someone recently just saying they weren't trying to be funny, but they were. They're like, you know, at this stage in the virtual, if you see the person's ceiling fan, they don't care, right? Like, and that was funny.
Right,
It wasn't set up punchline. It wasn't how to start a meeting. And the person who shared it, believe it or not, was like an accountant. And they would be probably stereotyped as not the funny person. They were hilarious. All they did was point it out a universal truth. So I'd start there. I'd say, leaders, back to your original question, how do we infuse laughter and humor into our space? Well, don't try so hard. Do not Google funny icebreakers. And I would start with just pointing out things that are universally true. Mm-hmm. And here's the neat part. If you point out things that are universally true, you're going to be wildly surprised how much laughter gets induced. And if it doesn't get in, laughter doesn't get induced, it's not like you hung yourself out there to dry. Because it's not like you said, hey guys, I have a funny joke I want to tell.
Yeah.
That's the kiss of death.
Yeah,
hey everyone.
Exactly.
Everyone, you won't believe you're gonna think this is so funny. Don't do that, because now you're basically raising a bar that's unnecessary. But pointing out the person that you can see their fan on a virtual, like, yeah, they don't care. They're past the I hope my angle on my computer screen is good.
We're past. They're way past.
They're actually like, they're so showing you, like, you know what? I'm not a fan of this, and that's why you're going to see the fan on my ceiling. Anyway. That's funny, but it's not shameful, and it's not set up punchline-y. It's accessible.
Well, what about, like, you know, one of the things that's important in leadership, at least, is humility. So being willing to listen, to engage, to not be, have to be the center of attention for everything. So that you get the best out of people. And so we were talking a little bit when we got started with self-deprecating humor, where, you know, you don't take yourself so seriously all the time.
Yeah.
And, where does that fit in this? And I know for me, at least, it helps signal that I'm no one special. You know, I'm not here just because I've got a title of CEO. It doesn't mean that I don't put my pants on one leg at a time and once in a while forget my computer when I come into work, you know, so I still make mistakes just like everybody else. And so with being willing to take yourself a little less seriously, I don't know how that plays into this.
It does. I'm so glad you brought that up, because you called back something, John. This was the first thing we talked about. I complimented your voice. You're like, oh, I have a face for radio. I was like, no, you actually got a great look. I would say this, humility is key. It is. And you have it. I don't know if it's easy to teach. My encouragement to everyone is something I said earlier, and I'm still working through this. Just don't overplay your giftings. That's really it. Both ways, whatever way. If I've got a lot of energy, if I overplay it, it can get overwhelming. If I trust it, then it's natural and it could come across as authentic. To your point, humility is wonderful. And self-deprecation is actually a neat way to show people that I don't take myself too seriously. Here would be my encouragement, and I see it all the time. If you overplay self-deprecation, it can actually come across as shameful to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I can see
that. And I'm trying to encourage, like, I'm visualizing all these listeners, probably not actors, probably not people that teach improv most. I'm telling you all, please don't overplay self-deprecation. I see a lot of times it's because they want to, like, match my energy and my comic rhythm. And again, I'd say your self-deprecation early was authentic. It was sweet. If you go too far, what you're doing is actually diminishing your authority. Mm. That's all. And I'm not saying you did that. In fact, you didn't. But my answer to humility is just don't overplay it. Because if you overplay humility, it's just a kind of a dangerous trap.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, like, for example, I see that, you know, a lot of, you know, comedies and TVs, they're always like, you're making fun of dad. Dad's the dumb guy.
Oh, gosh. And, it became the beta male. Yeah.
Yeah. So we always make fun of dads. We, you know, they're always the goofballs and all that. And I think even I see a lot of, not so much now, the people I hang out with, but I used to see people making fun of themselves. Like, oh, I'm just a dad. What do I know? I never know. When my kids go to school, I don't even know where they go to school. I don't know anything about their teachers. And I think that we sort of, like, we allow society to define who we are, and then we sort of take on that role. So I think I can see that where, like, dads can take that way too far and forget about the most important thing they are, is they are really responsible for their family. They're a leader in their families and essential to their family. So that's where I see that self-deprecation can really be a problem.
John, if we're being videotaped, we may be. I just put my hand in the air and I look like a fool. I cannot agree with you more. You're on fire. I mean it. You're cooking. I know we're kind of coming up to time, but I this is a part two. John, what you just said is so important. I know we started with laughter, but let's get real. I'm a father of two. You're a father. I will tell you that is the perfect example of going from self-deprecation to shame. I will make fun of myself. At the same time, my wife wants me to be a leader. I want her to be a leader. My daughters, 12 and 9, don't want their dad to be out of shape, don't want their dad to be a bumbling fool. It might play well on a sitcom, but my goodness, that's exactly what I'm talking about for men and women. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's also take our health seriously and take our leadership seriously. That's the difference. And therefore, the self-deprecation can exist. But, like, I don't want to shame myself. That self-talk can actually become a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It can.
Absolutely.
You nailed it. The dad bod, the bumbling, I don't know what I'm doing. My children do not want to look at their father going, I hope he has no idea what he's doing. Yeah. They're still dependent on me. They're 12 and 9.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And they want to have, we want to set a good role model.
That bumbling
person is not a good role model.
It's funny because we see it from afar. You know, we see it from the Bundy character in Sense. You don't want your airline pilot, male or female, to be like, hope we get there. You're like,
yeah, yeah.
Whoa, wait, that's not humility. That's ridiculous. Like, no, wait, we're getting there and you better have a pilot's license, right?
Yeah.
In fact, you can make an argument that you want confidence in that role.
Yeah.
And then when you are self-deprecating, it's a clear pivot from the standard.
Yeah. And, you know, and leaders who are listening in, you've heard me tell this example before, but when the storm gets rough and the seas are difficult, every sailor is looking at the captain. And they want to know that you're competent. And
yes.
And if you're just a big goofball all the time, then there's no confidence that you get through those tough times. So yeah, it's really important that you can use your humor appropriately, but again, don't get to that shame level is what you're saying.
Good job. Well, you got us there. Well done.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning from you. That's what I love about this show. I bring on experts and I just listen and learn. It's great.
You do a nice job of asking questions and connecting the through line. Yeah, really, you really got me going on on that self-deprecation. Well played.
Yeah, no, I think it's important. And I'm glad that we kind of dug into that a little bit. So one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, the company, we explained kind of what you do with Game On Nation. Well, who, you know,
if people are listening in, who is the right audience or who's the right client for coming to you? What are they trying to do in their organization? Yeah. Are they doing big culture changes? Are they putting in, are they, doing big mergers, acquisitions? What are the kind of things where they say, you know what, I need to go find these guys at Game On Nation and help them build up my team? So when do they come to you?
Yeah, a variety of all those that you said. Sometimes it's just for sales improvement, but what we position is what we do well, and then that hopefully indicates what the client then receives from us and asks from us. So our big focus is connection. And we focus on three things: connection to self, connection to others, and connection to purpose. That's our main lane. And obviously we use improvisation like we talked about, but then when we lay out that clarity, connection to self, connection to others, connection to purpose, then the client has a better sense of, can we fill some of their challenges, which you brought up. A lot of companies that are going through growth, big growth, and there's dealing with change, teams that need to just feel a little bit more connected, staff that need to improve their sales techniques and their storytelling techniques. Some of the things you and I have talked about, how we infuse a little levity and joy. Sometimes our sessions are not massive, like heavy duty, like, I know we've laid off a ton of people, but we need to rise and grind and roll up our sleeves. Sometimes we'll go into companies and they'll say, hey, we just want to bring a little levity and joy into the training with some good, simple takeaways and practical good to do's. And that's where we'll be brought in. But our audiences are three, kind of thinking three: corporations, military, and college and pro sports. Those are our three industries. And we talk about connection to self, others, and purpose in those environments. When they start to get into like things like organizational flow charts and financial IQ, that's usually something we refer out to one of our preferred colleagues, or ambassadors. But the main area, communication, presentation skills, with the overall theme being connection.
I love it. That's such a powerful thing that we need in, I did 22 years in corporations, and I could say most of those places I work needed that help. So for sure. And so it's good to hear that you're providing that, because I think a lot of companies need that, especially when they're going through change. Change is tough.
Yeah.
And change can really splinter a group if you're not all together, working together as a team. So I love these ideas of self, other, and purpose. This is such an important part of leadership and organizational success. So it's good to know that you are a resource that's out there for leaders when they need that. So what final message would you like to leave with our listeners right now?
That's good, John. I think it's where I'm at right now, which is know your gifting and just be aware of when you're overplaying it. And I'm speaking from my own journey, which means you got to surround yourself with people that you trust that can give you the honest feedback. That's it. So that's why self, others, and purpose is our run right now. It's know yourself, focus on serving others, and figure out a higher purpose beyond yourself. So you got gifts. We all do. I got high energy. John, you're just such a smart person, humble person. You're such an authentic person. So I'd encourage you, keep leaning into that. And if you overplay it, have people around you who can get you back to the middle ground. Same with me. When I overplay my energy, it comes overwhelming. When I overplay my compassion, it becomes enablement. So I encourage your listeners, love your gifts, and make sure you understand the challenges if those gifts are overplayed, so you can be aware of it when that happens.
Powerful advice. Powerful advice. So thank you for that. I really do. That's something, leaders, that we need to think about as we go through the week. What are your strengths? What are your gifts? And what happens when you overplay them? So very much have people around you that can point it out that you're taking it too far. I love that. How can listeners find out more about you and your company, Steve?
Thanks, John. Yeah, I told you at the beginning, we're not selling anything right now, but website is gameonnation.com. And we've got a newsletter that we send out with other content weekly. So we'd love just to grow the community. So subscribe to our newsletter, which you can do on our website. And then you will not get pummeled with tons of email funnels. Nothing against that. It's just not where we're at. And you'll get a newsletter once a week that I send out some tips for virtual and live presentation skills, and kind of what we talked about, some techniques for us to be authentically engaging and bring joy and laughter into a culture without Googling funny jokes.
All right. So hopefully you learned that one lesson. Don't Google icebreakers or funny jokes.
So you're cool, but you're going to end up with a hula hoop and a
I don't know, some kind of weird team building thing.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead and put links to Steve, to Steve's company and also the newsletter. And again, this is something, if you want to get better at these issues, if you want to learn from experts, this is why we put these resources out there for you. It's a free resource. You get this newsletter every week. And again, this is something you can learn and keep growing as a leader. And again, part of it is, how are you doing with your communication? How are you doing with your team building? How are you doing with, you know, are you using humor appropriately, as we've discussed there? And again, you have this newsletter and it gives you all that. So I highly encourage you to click on the link below and subscribe to that newsletter. And you're going to find out and learn from Steve, not just on this one-time call, on this one-time podcast episode, but throughout the year. So Steve, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge on the topic. I've really enjoyed meeting you and I've enjoyed listening to your perspective on the subject.
Thanks, John. You're a really good listener, good question asker, and I love your authenticity, man. Well done.
Well, thanks. Thanks for being on the show. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Rennie saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, The Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electricast.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.